This is the end of the Starladder Budapest Major. We have been on a 20-plus day journey. I'm sorry for the guys in the arena who can't hear us right now. We can't put the sound on, but you can watch live. You can try here. I've got no voice left in this at all, but it has been a crazy major. Vitality walk away as champions, back-to-back major champions. The storylines are all there. There's so much to talk about. But to introduce who we've got, as always, my more than intelligent co-host who is somehow not died yet.
Almost sounded like an insult.
Okay, super intelligent, super handsome co-host. Let's go with that. Does that work better for you?
Much better.
And then we've got Thomas, who is in charge of everything when it comes to Cross on Strike, which is the French broadcast, who was breaking records this event. And then NA's lovable nade guy, trick guy, everything else. It's Austin.
The nade guy or the nade police. It depends on what you know me as.
Oh, nade police. I like that. Yeah, okay. I like where we're going with that. I remember the first one for you was you showed me that you could hide in that little corner when it comes to an ancient.
Yeah, I mean, that one took off way more than I ever thought it would. I just woke up one morning to Olaf Meister posting. There was a clip in my chat from Olaf Meister doing it and then shouting me out. And I was like, oh, my God, this is insane.
Yeah, everyone was taking note. But this major, this ending, Austin, let's start with you. You were basically in the crowd. You were streaming from a PC in here. You were getting to enjoy and feel the atmosphere and energy. What was this experience like for you, bro?
I mean, this was easily the best live event I've ever been to, like, period. I mean, I think the players definitely felt that as well. I mean, I got to play the show match, and just even for the show match, just hearing and feeling that, like, the table vibrate, it was absurd. It was just the best crowd ever for Counter-Strike, and more fitting. What more fitting than for a major?
Did you get very hot by the fire, the propane that was going up?
they didn't really tell me about the fire until we were about to go live. And they're like, oh, by the way, there's fire that comes out of the ground. Oh, and then, but it wasn't that bad.
Okay. Because I'm telling you, it was getting very sweaty in these suits when I was trying to duck and dive around the fire. And sometimes I would just forget about it. And then all of a sudden it goes off by the side of you. Thomas, for you, obviously, Vitality is a French organization, two French players on there. But you guys broke records this major.
Yeah, we did. Exactly, we did. It was pretty impressive, to be honest. We did 80K, like, if you take Twitch and YouTube. So us, like, our previous record was a bit above, like, 50K. So
wow, that's a huge jump.
Huge for us. Thanks to Vitality, of course, to help us doing stat like this. And, we did also more than 9,000 subs on the channel. So
brilliant.
Yeah, we break record everywhere. So yeah, thanks to Vitality and thanks to all the French fans who start to discover Counter-Strike.
Devil, you just finished up on the desk. Your second ever major desk. The first one was Antwerp. So now you're two-time major champion, player, coach, and also two-time major analyst desk man.
Yeah, this was my first final though. I only did a semi-final in Antwerp.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. But I got to enjoy the final in the arena in Antwerp. And I think, you know, they're two very different experiences, running around into green rooms, writing down things you want to talk about. So it's a completely different experience, but it was a very enjoyable one.
Now, I want to talk a bit about the Counter-Strike before we get into some other things, because this was looking like it could be deadly for Vitality. My thoughts, especially not even before we saw the first map, but just the fact that it seemed like FaZe were on one of these crazy magic runs, and then you get the first map, I was sat there thinking, oh God, Vitality are going to throw this away. What was your reaction at the beginning?
It's something like with FaZe, it has to be Kerrigan, where I'm a lifelong FaZe fan, and I'm not going to lie, coming into this major, I was checked out. I thought, you know,
of course,
seeing them struggle through the group stage, I thought it was over, the 0.4 second, you know, save from Kerrigan, and then by the time we got here, I was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. I can't believe it. They won the first map, and I was over the moon, and then reality set in. I don't know. It's just FaZe magic.
It is really some FaZe magic. Devilwalk, you were kind of at the time saying all the time, Vitality will take this, will take this, will take this. Did that mindset change because of what you saw on the first map?
I did not change that at all. I wasn't really nervous for Vitality because I thought that the three maps for me that FaZe needed to win was the three first ones. So they needed to 3-0 Vitality for me. They needed to pick up the Nuke, they needed to pick up Dust 2, and they needed to pick up Inferno. You know, when you go to an overpass, it was almost like the longer the best of five kind of went, the more it was just moving towards Vitality. Because overpass, you know, it's not a map that FaZe had looked great on by any means. I think they've lost, you know, against NIP earlier in the tournament. I mean, that was probably, for me, probably their worst map when they won both pistols and still lost 13-8 on overpass. And then Mirage, you know, I think Vitality had something like 84, 86% win rate on that map, whilst FaZe would be more of a 50-50. So it just felt like they needed to sweep them instantly to have a chance.
You must have been believing from the beginning, Thomas.
Of course. Yeah. I remember like streaming the match of FaZe in the stage one between Red Canids and seeing like they just like avoid losing on five different map points. They are still in the tournament and they are able to come back and go in the final. It was just like a believe a dream and they made it. It was kind of a surprise. But at the same time, I had this feeling that Vitality was the perfect team to counter FaZe. Yeah. And after the first map that FaZe won, it was not the same scenario as usual. Like, usually FaZe start to lose, and after they get momentum and they manage to close the game. The fact that FaZe won the first match, I was like, okay, Vitality now have two different maps to stop the FaZe momentum. If they manage to do it, FaZe won't come back. And that's exactly what happened on those two.
Yeah. And I want to also look at this, right, is that for Vitality, yes, the best team of the year, even if they didn't win this major, right? But this is one of these crazy scenarios where they didn't come into this playoff bracket as favourites, and then they then went on this tear and things started to look better for them. And just look at this, like, the performances they had here was like something changed in them coming into this playoffs that maybe was unexpected, because this was a level up from not just like the usual suspects. It was almost everyone minus Apex who actually did start to perform a little bit better from the semis onwards.
I mean, did you say Vitality or for
FaZe? Yeah, for Vitality.
For Vitality. I mean, I think that Vitality, sometimes they can start a little bit loose in a tournament. They can almost look a little bit lost. And I think they actually did even in this grand final. But once they get kind of a slap on the wrist or something, it seems like they just wake up and start playing again. And I feel like we've seen this time and time again, where you start to get worried for Vitality and that's when they come back and they just kick in another gear. Because on Nuke, I thought it was uncharacteristic from Vitality. They looked like timid, they were kind of hiding behind boxes, and they weren't really putting themselves out there to take duels. It felt like it was more FaZe players clearing them in corners rather than, you know, them setting up plays and being proactive, especially on their CT side. And it's just not what I've seen from them at all throughout the year, even in the I guess bad tournaments, a top four finish, you know, they played better than they did on that Nuke.
You know what, I'm gonna just give you something leaked information. We were waiting for it to hit. Zywu is the MVP, so that is now all his majors, all three of them, him being the MVP. But I'll say this, both Rops and Mezzi were looking like they were trying to chase him. This was not like a definitive run where Zywu was going to be guaranteed it, right?
Yeah, definitely. And does that mean that Zywu is the first ever three-time major MVP?
It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's definitely going to be interesting when it comes into the GOAT debate now.
Yeah, because obviously in Astralis it like went up and down, right? Different players had it.
Right. Now, this was definitely a great event from everybody on Vitality. I mean, not surprised that they won, but when it comes down to like Zywu getting the MVP over Rops or Mezzi, I feel like it has to be Zywu, just because he played better consistently throughout like the entirety of like the group stage, and then also in playoffs. Like, we had pop-off performances from Mezzi and Rops, but it wasn't like Zywu took a map off ever. He was always constantly there, and yes, like Mezzi did great today in the final specifically, but still Zywu was putting up the same kind of numbers he has been.
If you go match MVP, I would say Messi, but overall for the tournament, I'd agree with that.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's why Vitality is so strong, basically. Like, for example, Spirit got Donk, like we got other team with very strong player, but Vitality is a true team, to be honest. And when you can see the performance that Mezzi is doing, because for a long time he was a player who already, everyone was saying, like, maybe you should kick Mezzi to get a better player, like, in terms of name. But Mezzi is now a good player individually, but as a team player, holy shit, he's super good. He's, like, super, super, super good. And what you can see, like, on Inferno, for example, for me, is the best moment you can understand how Vitality works, because in the beginning, Zywu isn't that good. He's missing a lot of AVP shots, and we can see Rops doing clutch one after the other. And Mezzi, when Rops started to play a bit, I don't know, a lower level, I'm gonna say. Messi started to get some numbers at that point. So in the end, we got all five players performing at the same time. And of course, when you play at that level, you win major.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this in the past. It's almost like every single player on Vitality could be a star player on any other team in the world. And that's a scary prospect, right? You know, Messi, he was a superstar in Fnatic to some extent. Rops in FaZe. You know, Saivu, obviously. You know, who can do that? And Flamesy, you know, came from OG, right? And he was an incredible player.
By the way, I'm just going to keep saying this. Vitality signed Flamesy and Rops with no buyout.
Yeah.
People can't forget the... Like, there are so many organizations that make horrendous screw-ups with, like, letting a player go or not getting the money they should for a player, or they can't quite get it right on the transfers. Somehow, some way, these guys did it perfectly with two of the biggest signings. Because Flamesy was super hyped. The only thing that obviously he got hit with is, oh, they just won a major, you're replacing Dupree. But, like, Vitality was planning for the future. And then Robs comes along. You can't ever say no to Robs if he's on offer and free. And, like, this is genius management for sometimes when you look at some orgs, they can't do any of this stuff right.
I mean, I feel like there's a few examples where you feel like teams have missed the mark with renewing their lineup and, yep, and changing things up. You can look at Astralis, you can look at NIP, who kind of failed that. Because when you have the strongest fan base and the strongest kind of, I don't know, org presence in the scene, that fades away pretty quickly. And if you don't act when the players want to play for that organization, want to play for that badge, so to speak, it's going to be really hard to kind of rebuild. And obviously Vitality have done a great job at that.
Yeah, and let me look at this now, because before we start talking about FaZe, because there's not massive amounts to talk about, looking at Vitality, do you guys, and I'm going to start with you, Austin, consider this a better year than the Astralis year with 10 trophies and one major?
I personally do. And I think that's just because the level of Counter-Strike across the board has risen to a level that I feel like it's going to be hard to see runs like this throughout a year. Like, it's going to be hard to see it again. This could be one of the last dominant runs that we have in Counter-Strike history, just because everybody is just getting so much better as a team.
Devwalk.
I mean, yes, only because... Because of the same reason, essentially. It's the fact that you have so many good teams challenging them as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mao even said on the desk that even the Astralis era had finishes where they exited group stage, they exited quarterfinals, they had these kind of bumps and blimps in their road even in that year. And you look at Vitality, we're not even counting the top four finishes. I don't even know how many it is, but that's their worst standing at an event.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you still should consider with how dominant they've been through this year.
Thomas.
Yeah, if I remember well, they just failed the first event of the year, like the Blast Open, I think it was.
Oh, is that Blast Bounty?
I think Apex said that.
Blast Bounty, yeah. Thank you.
Six days of practice with Rops before they went into that tournament.
Yeah. And of course, just after, like, they managed to chain, like, win one after the other. And we are talking about the era of Vitality, and it was important for them after the loss in Cologne to be able to bounce back and win this major. Of course, they win the Pro League, but we all know Pro League is not the same, of course. So I don't want to say it's better than Astralis, because it's two different era, and of course, like, it was a different opposition. But yeah, whatever, like, Vitality did an amazing job, and they're going to stay in history for this.
I'm kind of on, like, Thomas's thinking that because the time difference is so huge, and obviously what Astralis did revolutionize what was going on in Counter-Strike, Vitality have broken records. Vitality have looked better and more dominant, especially like looking at that best of three record they had. And they come back, especially at the end part of this year, where you thought another team might drop off and not be able to perform. But I will say that both these eras, if you want to call them that, or however you're going to name it, are equally as credible right now. But if we see some sort of, and I mean, this doesn't have to be 7-8 trophies in a row again, or 7 trophies in a row again some more next year, but if they have half as good of a year as they did this year next year, then I'm going to definitely be talking, okay, no one can touch them, because that would be ludicrous. We would have never seen anything like it.
I think the difference is, I don't personally consider them the best Counter-Strike team of all time, but I consider them the best Counter-Strike team of all time in the making. I think they need a little bit more to kind of trump Astralis, but they're definitely number two for me.
Now, I want to say one more thing to everyone who might be watching home. I don't even know if I have a close-up camera. There is some sort of close-up somewhere going on. There is like 40 cameras around here looking at us. I don't know what's happening.
You're spinning around even.
Yeah, just in front of me. This one here. Hey, there's one little solo camera over there. Hey, guys. Okay, what I want to tell you guys is you can type Corsair in chat. This will be the last time you can do it across the podcast, and you'll have some items to be won. There's a mouse, there's a headset, there's a keyboard. Type Corsair, three winners we picked at the end. Good luck, have fun for the last time. We've got a little bit more to talk about, and then we'll be out of here because they're already packing up the arena. Everyone's gone. All the production staff is being closed up. But let's start to move this conversation on to FaZe, because no one expected this from FaZe. No one was ready for this. Jacob's improvement is just incredible. I didn't expect it. I thought he was going to bottle out. I thought he was just going to fall apart on the stage. This is a kid who really did. Like, I felt like FaZe were gaslighting us. Oh, yeah, he's so good in practice. He's really good. And I'm thinking, not going to lie, I don't see it. But he grew as a player. Thomas, like, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of impressed by the way he managed to handle pressure, because when they arrived like in the quarterfinal, I spotted him like many times outside, and he looked like very his face was very close, you know.
Yeah.
And, in the game, he was not that good. Like basically, he was like using the strength of face to be able to do some frags, but in terms of positioning, sometimes he was not in the best way. But like game after game, he started to get better and better. And to be honest, I'm kind of happy for him, because I don't really trust this five of face to be able to do this type of performance again and again and again. I think we are close to the end of the FaZe era of this type of this roster, to be honest. But this guy like just proved that he's able to keep to stay in tier one. And I was afraid in stage one, if they go out, that he get kicked from FaZe. And we know a story like this when a good player, good prospect come in a top team, don't make things happen, and in the end he get kicked, and that's almost the end of his tier one career.
I think honestly a lot of credit goes to his teammates, because even if you look at like stage one, stage two, or especially stage two, where he kind of, that's when he started to shine a lot more, or in the victories that they kind of got to make it to stage two. He had a terrible event up to that point, and he did some kind of sick highlight. I can't exactly remember what, but I do remember the faces, the expressions of his teammates all pointing at him, screaming loudly, yeah. You know, words of encouragement. And it felt like that was kind of an unlocking moment for Jacob, that, you know, he felt that he got the belief from his teammates and the hype. And ever since that moment, I didn't really see him nervous as he was in the start, where he, you know, looked timid in the game and kind of uncertain about what to do. It looked like he finally got the trust, or believed himself that he had the trust of his teammates. So I think that was, you know, big credit to Kerrigan and his teammates for unlocking that in him as well.
And I think that's exactly why, like, Kerrigan will go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, IGL of all time, because this is, I don't even know how many times now he's been able to get the most out of players who have seemingly no experience or phases. They're like breakout team, and they just show up and impress time and time again. And you can even see it like in between the rounds, whenever Jacob does something good, Kerrigan's looking right at him and going, you're insane, stuff like that. And yeah, it's just like having the support group, like you said, of FaZe, it's insane.
It really is insane, and it's impressive. And you know what, Kerrigan has now been in what, three major grand finals? Okay, you have lost all of them, all under very different circumstances, you know. The potentially favourites in Copenhagen didn't work out. Then it was like, I guess, a good middle ground for the year in Shanghai. This was the most unexpected one. But to be able to keep doing that, reinventing things, inspiring your teammates, making it work, like, this is why, for me, he has surpassed Glaive, even if he doesn't have the majors for it. Because there's times where Kerrigan did this with a Mouse Sports, with players who were nowhere near any level. They were also some players who, like, they didn't have the you know, the same budget. It wasn't like tier one budget at that time for Mouse. It was a very different Mouse to what we know if people were looking at the history. So I'm for now, for me, he is the IGL GOAT. That just isn't even in question for me. Devil, what about for you?
I would it's a hard one for me, because I think there's a couple of candidates. And depends on how you kind of structure what's important, if it's trophies, if it's, you know, bringing up teams, if it's doing the best with as little as possible. I still think Apex is up there in that conversation. I think Glaive is up there in that conversation. So for me, it's not settled that he's like 100%. I think, you know, we have a few years left of it to make a decision.
A few years left of it to make
sense. Hopefully.
You know, I was really worried, by the way. I don't know if you saw the exit interview, the loser interview with Carrigan. I thought, shit, is he going to retire? And because I saw he was tearing up, he was getting emotional. And I'm like, no way is this going to be the time he retires. I think if he won the major, maybe he would have retired.
He could have.
He could have done it on top and gone out in the best way possible, which a lot of players, by the way, don't do and mess things up, you know, when an opportunity
that's
come.
So hard. You win a major and you just like, bye. Like, hey, who would do that?
Yeah, it could have been the same for Fallen if he managed to win his quarterfinal on wins this event. And when we talk about like the best game leader in the world,
well,
like, of course, because we talk about Carrigan, of course, we talk about Apex. Let's not forget Glaive, what he did like in the past. And yeah, Fallen, like the way he managed like to create this Furia team, like, wow. How? Like, I didn't expect anything. Like, okay, Molodoy is a good prospect. Like, he arrived like in Brazil, but I didn't expect him to play at this level. Yekindar, like, how he bounced back this way? Like, so yeah, I want to highlight what Fallen like did with this lineup on Furia, because they were the favorites in the final. So,
yeah. I will say as well, when it comes to that interview I did with Carrigan, is like the fact he wants to keep this lineup, and everyone was saying kick Jacob and all this stuff. It goes to show that, like, I wouldn't change his lineup either. He needs a consistent lineup for the year, and he can cook again. Give him this lineup now going into... Hello, Snow, you're just jumping all over me now. Give him this lineup going into 2026 and, like, being able to actually work with it, have some consistency, which he didn't have all year. He didn't have the right ideas. It feels like now he can have the right pieces, only if we get stage brokey all the time. Because I'm still... He's literally now my only question mark about this team.
Yeah, brokey is... I've been very critical on him all year because I think he's had the worst rating out of all of the teams in the top 16 as far as Operas go.
Yeah.
And he came back and looked like his old self at this event. But I'm concerned, like, is that enough and will he be able to continue that going into next year? But, I mean, if he can, then yes, I agree. They should keep this roster because this was very impressive stuff. I think that they have a lot to look forward to in the next year.
They can't just have, like, you know, Rain would always show up for the majors, always show up for playoffs. They can't have that in an AWPer. I'm sorry, Rain can get away with it. Brokey, you cannot. You know, like, there's too many good AWPers out there. That's not something I can live on. All right, to start getting us towards the end of this, I want to know, because you've all been here inside the arena, I want to just get your thoughts on the arena, on the fans, on the crowd, on the energy. Thomas, you're already moving your hands, so you got you.
I think that by far the biggest arena I ever saw, like in Counter Strike. So yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Like for me, the public was very, very good. And of course, I prefer the major in Paris, like for obvious reason.
No bias.
Only Vitality fan, like shouting everywhere. But here was very, very impressive. Like the way the crowd showed for FaZe in the quarter and semi-final, it was very, very impressive. So I really like this arena.
I love the crowd. I think, you know, as you mentioned, it didn't feel like even the boos sometimes just felt ironic, like when they were saving and stuff like that. It just wanted.
I do love it. I love it.
But they were cheering for everyone. It didn't feel like people hated a team or
only fuck you, Apex. That was all we got,
yeah,
you know. But he kind of brings it on himself.
It's kind of a meme.
Yeah, it's like,
I like it.
It isn't actually a hated one. It's just
everyone's
likes
applauding
the idea.
Like 10 seconds later. Yeah. You know, like
I think they just enjoy being able to say fuck you, someone, and like everyone does it, and that just becomes like, this is good. We like this. Funny, it started in America.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean...
Would you start to chant, Austin?
I won't speak on that, you know. I don't want Apex coming for me. I already had one pro player seat. I don't need another one. But I think when it comes down to it, we just had an arena full of Counter-Strike fans, and everybody here is for the game. They're here to watch the game. Everybody can get behind a good joke. Yes, we're booing the saves, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all just having a great time.
Now, I'll say this, right? I haven't been the stage host of all the majors for a long time. I think this might be like my 7th major, maybe. I don't know the numbers.
Weird flex?
No, I'm not. I never lifted the trophy, so not a flex at all. But I mean, in terms of all the arenas I've been in, from Cologne to Katowice, Cologne and Katowice are iconic, and Cologne always sounds so good and is impressive. but it's not this amount of people.
Yeah.
It's smaller. It's a lot smaller because the stage is like here and covers off some of the seats behind. It's not a rounded 360. This is 20,000 people. That's not including staff or the VIP. This is 20,000 seats plus everything else you had for the guests, the VIP and everything else. I would just assume 21,000. We'll find out what numbers will come out afterwards. But I'll say this for me beats Antwerp. Antwerp was the best stage I ever hosted.
Yeah.
I, in Antwerp, remember standing on the stage, and I tell this story all the time, when they were cheering for FaZe and Na'Vi in that game, I did the winner's interview with FaZe, I could feel the air. And that takes a lot. But in here, if you watch my intro, I was shaking. I was shaking. Whoa. Because I was, and I've never, like, you can watch me on stage a million times, go back and watch other VODs. I've never been shaking from it because every time they reacted, it was like power. It was like energy. This, to me, was the greatest crowd we have ever had for CS at any event all time. But obviously, I wasn't in some of the early ones. Maybe.
But the middle arenas need to stay. Like, the
360,
this is
360
so
is
good
cool.
Because there's almost not a bad seat in the entire
Just
venue.
Don't call it middle arena again. I don't want any fans start saying the middle arena.
Okay, 360. Okay, 360 stage. Yeah. But I feel like everyone got a great viewing experience. I feel like when you have these like long ass arenas with the stage all the way, some people are not gonna have the most amazing experience. And I think that it helps the crowd deliver what they've delivered as well.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think historically, if we go back and look at some of the best crowds throughout history, it's these 360 arenas that provide some of the best. If I'm not mistaken, I think Boston was also a 360 arena, and that crowd was also insane. Just watching from the stream, I wasn't there. If I was, my heart would have been broken, even as an NA CS fan. I'll never forget 1511 Inferno. But anyway, I just hope we get more... arenas like this so that the crowd can be more involved. Because like you're saying, if you have a bad seat and you're sitting far away, you know, it's hard to see. You're kind of like squinting, like, I can't tell how many kills he has. And it's like, when you're here, everybody has the same view. It's way better for everybody.
And you know what you just said there, right? Everyone having the same view. I know StarLadder got a lot of shit for what they did and what they've been through right from the start of this. But this playoff experience was nuts. These screens, you can go to the top rafters and still see them. You can see them perfectly. The viewing experience.
They're huge.
Yeah, like when I first saw the plans, I didn't think it was this big. It is crazy. And this isn't some glazing, because the people inside the arena will tell you exactly what they saw and what happened. Because sometimes it's like you can have an angle or a position, like you said, Austin, where you don't quite see it and it's not so good. But this was absolutely tremendous. And also, did you notice how like locked in the crowd was? There was one moment earlier before we went into Overpass. I'm pointing at each side. And they actually hit it every time. Do you know how nervous I was? I was thinking, okay, if they don't follow me, I'm going to look like a fucking dickhead. Like, I'm going to just look like a complete ass. Because I'm pointing, they went. And I'm like, okay, we go faster. And they were just tapped in.
That was epic.
Completely on their job, getting it right.
And not to mention, I think I saw the wave go around here. Like,
oh, yeah,
50
yeah, yeah.
times this weekend. And that's insane. Like, I've seen that one time before at a live event. I'm sure they do it everywhere, but that was crazy in the 360 arena. It was so fun to look at.
Now, guys, we got to start closing this out and get things packed away. The stage needs to come down tonight. And also, we got an after party to get to. Austin, I know you got a flight early, but I still think you should come.
We'll see.
I'm trying to make it really bad for him.
One beer.
Okay, guys, one.
One beer. One
we'll
beer.
See what happens.
Let's go.
I will be there.
You're Alice, French. That makes perfect sense.
Of course.
I'm wine? Have one beer?
Not sure.
Thomas, are you a wine or a beer guy?
More beer, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Okay.
White wine also good.
Okay. Well, we definitely have some fun no matter what. Thomas, first of all, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for the invitation.
I said your guys put me on their stream. I was just walking around and they just gave me a headset. So I was on there for a few minutes. For the French scene, it is so important for me to have some guys like you on top of the co-streamers. There's nothing bad against co-streamers, but like having a broadcast and having it done properly, because it's educational as well as professional. Co-streamers are great. We have Oni for the English, right? There can always be a mix and balance of it. But you breaking numbers is positive for the whole French scene, which can help grow for the numbers of the player base.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike is made to be global.
Yeah, so, thanks for your words. Yeah.
Really hats off to you on that. Is there anything, I think the camera's for you. Is it here, producer? Is his camera there?
Can use this one as you want.
Go for this one. I'm going to hope they go on it. Talk in that camera. Say anything you want in English or French. And final words from you.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to everyone like watching us right now. Like, we are breaking numbers like with the French community. It's absolutely insane. Thanks to all the people who start to watch now Counter-Strike in France. It's going very huge for us and it's going to keep going. Thank you again.
And let's say, I hope that 3D Max keep their promise to me and make playoffs of a major. If you get Vitality and 3D Max, you're definitely breaking those numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
Austin, you've been in the arena the whole time. You've been grinding. You've been on the... By the way, I will say this. My job can be hard at the moment on the stage. Your job, like, you are sat there for all the time, no analysts, watching a bit of the broadcast, trying to eat and drink. Do you eat a drink while streaming?
Yeah, I did, actually. I had to run out in between maps.
Oh, yeah. If I'm, because me and Devil did a few, like, low-key co-streams of random events.
You get so fucking tired.
Sometimes I feel like I'm going to fall asleep, especially on Inferno.
Oh, yeah. That was not also the prettiest Counter-Strike, even for a final.
No, that wasn't good.
But just any words you want to say, any final thoughts to all the people out there who support and love you?
I just want to say thank you guys for coming to support me if you do. And if you don't, it's still, I just want to put these tutorials out so that everybody can just share Counter-Strike. I want to bring the best out of the game for everybody. I want to share so you guys can all enjoy like I do. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the major as well.
Devilwalk, your last chance before I have to force you to do another podcast when you get home. Not much of a break you're getting, mate.
No, but yeah. Thank you, everyone, for the support. I hope you enjoyed the major. I certainly did. And thank you, guys, for joining
us
here. Thank
you. Thanks for the invitation. Yeah.
Yeah.
For pleasure.
Super lovely. I mean, let's go Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
Let's go Counter-Strike. Well, that is it. The Star Ladder Budapest Major has ended. If you are a big fan of Counter-Strike, you need to be at events like this. The major is something different that cannot be explained. The feelings you have, the emotions you have, people traveling from all around the world. Counter-Strike is a truly global game. It is full of millions of players around the world. It's getting bigger in China. We just heard it's getting bigger in France. It's growing all over. And that's what makes our game beautiful. We are undefeated. We are number one. There is no competition in esports compared to what anyone else is doing. Counter-Strike is forever. Counter-Strike is what always remains, and we will forever be the best because we have the legacy, we have the passion, and we have a game that can just never die. This has been the All About Counter-Strike Star Ladder Major podcast from start to finish. We've been having a lot of fun rocking it. We've been in the arena. We've been having guests on. This is it. We're going home tomorrow, but trust me, there'll be more episodes and more fun. Thank you very much for watching, and forever Counter-Strike, forever love.